Okay.
Welcome to episode 380 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Yeah, bringing in some of that old school music that we used to have on this program, but I've not been able to use it since we've been on YouTube. But tonight is going to be Rumble only. And there's reasons for that, folks. Even now, as I'm doing this, I'm realizing that I don't have to self-censor, at least not now on this platform. I'm going to be riding solo tonight. William cannot be here. He has other obligations, and I think you're going to be glad you joined in. Anyway, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Yeah, air, water, healing. And I don't know why I struggle saying that, but anyway, you can get 10% off with promo code PERMA. We've talked about it before. Used, this last weekend? Yeah, we actually used the latest product we got where it's like a little self-contained breathing apparatus when you're out in public and you're worried about people shedding on you or anything like it. So anyway, go check them out. PERMA will get you 10% off. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Where do I even start? Okay. So I'll just jump into the farm news right off the bat, y'all. Today was chicken processing day, at least for several of them. I got three of them in the freezer right now. Now, let me back up a little bit and explain exactly what happened. So a buddy of mine out in Missouri ended up raising some of these breasty chickens for me. Well, when you don't necessarily know what they're going to be, but, you know, I wanted mostly hens out here, which isn't a problem. Because we did get some hens out of the deal, but mostly roosters. Well, the problem is the solution in permaculture, as we always talk about. So those guys are going in the freezer, especially at a time when I just ran out of chicken anyway. So, yeah, I don't see a downside of this. And I've talked about it before that what we've done is made a deal with Ben and Denise over at Renewed Homestead. And in exchange for, look, they get all the hens I had. They're going to raise up enough eggs. I'll incubate them out. Raise up enough chicken to feed both farms all year long and then probably have a ton left over. So there's no downside of any of this. So this is exactly what I was talking about a week or maybe 2 weeks ago where I was saying, hey, farms can ford up together. You can do exactly as they did it back in the colonial days here in the United States of Amnesia. How about that? So anyway, I was processing some roosters today and y'all, I'm telling you, I almost did a show on this very thing that happened. Folks, I can't believe it took me this long to process three chickens, not because I'm out of practice, but because of two things, and primarily one of them. Number one, I'm over here trying to pluck the feathers off this chicken, not by hand, but obviously in my chicken plucker, and I'm like, what is going on here? I kind of suspected maybe the water wasn't hot enough, but the thermometer was reading. You know, I like my temperature at about 145, and this thing was just not hot enough, but I suspected that was the case. So I said, man, maybe I better go in the house and go get another thermometer. I was struggling through two birds, y'all. Usually I can get through one in about a minute. And I'm sitting here like, what is going on here? I'm like, man, if the feathers are this hard to get out of this bird, I don't know if I want to deal with it. Well, it was exactly as I suspected. The thermometer was 10 degrees off. Yeah. That's exactly why when I tell people to buy compost thermometers, make sure you get a Rio temp. Those things aren't cheap, but they are worth every dime. And plus, you can calibrate them. These ones that come, you know, you got to be really careful about your thermometers, folks, especially when you're dealing with compost. The other thing is all of my knives that I use in my, like, I have a throwaway knife collection, I guess you could say. And I use those knives primarily when I'm teaching other people, because if they tear these up, which they will, it's no big deal to me. I mean, yeah, they're hard to sharpen again after people wear them out, but For some reason, I don't know what I must have been thinking. I had these guys put up. They weren't sharpened. And there is nothing more aggravating to me than an unsharp knife. And so I paid the piper on that too. So, man, it was just, folks, I'm embarrassed to say that it took me about 3 hours, I think, to get through three birds before I finally figured out all the problems. I'm just sitting here like, you big dummy. I can't even believe it's taken me this long to do something like this. I mean, this should have been done. I mean, for three birds, I mean, I did three right now, and I'll explain why I'm going to do the rest of them tomorrow. But anyway, folks, I mean, this is a lesson that happens to the best of us. I mean, you just can't take things for granted. You got to try out your equipment. You got to make sure you have backups. I mean, permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. So part of preparedness is two is one and one is none. Three is two, you know, five is four. Always assume that you have less that are functional than what you actually have. And always have backups. So, folks, I was slipping today, and I don't hide my mistakes. I let you know. And I fall on my sword as often as I must to make sure everybody else is out there prepared. You know, things like that where, you know, it was on that show. Oh, man, I can't remember what it was, but those guys would go out after gators and everything. They'd go out, try to shoot the gator, and then they ain't got no bullets in the gun. You just take things for granted sometimes. And I did that very thing today. I just assumed these knives are sharp. I never put up the knives without sharpening, ever. I never do that. So I don't know what got into me. Or maybe Michelle found those knives and started rubbing them on concrete, which she could potentially do. Anyway, got those guys, those three done. Now, here's what I did. In the collection of the layers that I have, they're a potpourri of all kinds of birds. We treat our birds just like a permaculture system for the most part, especially our layers. There isn't one type of layer out there. We got them all out there. And honestly, I couldn't tell you the breed of any of them. I don't think anybody could because they were a hodgepodge of birds I had hatched out. So what I would do is when they get, you know, a little long in the tooth, I'm like, okay, well, you just graduated to the freezer. You know, you guys are going to make some really good bone broth and I will respect everything with you. You're going to be composted. You'll live again, but in a different form, so to speak. So I don't know what any of those birds are out there. There's not one of them I think is a pure breed of anything, but they're good birds. And so I had that rooster out there for a while and I'm thinking, okay, well, in fact, I'm pretty sure I got him from Ben and Denise. He was a good rooster. I mean, he was, you know, friendly the whole nine yards. I mean, he was great. And so I put him in the pot. He was one of the ones I harvested. And then I took one of the Bressies I thought was one of the best, and I stuck him down there. So, you know, it's not going to be a Brown versus Board of Education situation down there. These guys get along famously, and they work it out, especially when you just got one rooster. So for folks out there that got a bunch of roosters in there with your hens, you wonder why you got mayhem. Well, that's why you got it. I don't remember what the ratio is, but it's like one rooster for every, I don't know, either 15 or 25 birds, depending on whom you ask. And in some situations, you might be able to play, you know, cut corners and do it differently, but that's how I roll. So anyway, got him down there, took the one that was there and put him into the pot. That way I got a backup. Should anything ever happen to the rooster with Ben and Denise, well, I got a backup. And I'm sure, you know, that's not going to be a problem. But, you know, two is one, one is none. So, got that squared away. Let's see what else we got here. Yeah, man, I've been really... I'll tell you what, this warm weather has actually been giving me a lot of space to get some things done. So, I was able to put some soil savior in this area where I'm trying to get rid of the... there's something of a compaction issue over there. It's under some power lines, which isn't wonderful. And in addition to that, this has been a place where that silvergrass has wanted to take root for a while since we got here. And I'm really giving it the old college try. I mean, it will go away. I mean, I know how to get rid of it, especially now. It's just staying on top of it and juggling all these different balls like everybody else is doing. And you're thinking, man, do I even have time to fool with this? But I've made time to get it done. Put down some soil saviors. And let me tell you the strategy on that. So, When you have something that even the only thing that will eat this stuff is water buffaloes, okay? Ain't nobody running water buffaloes in the mountains up here. So you got to ask yourself, okay, what does it dislike? Well, Michelle figured out that it likes compacted soil. It likes full sun. It hates shade. I mean, it really does not like shade. So you don't find it in a whole lot of shaded places. So when you find something like that and it has those characteristics, you got to ask yourself, okay, what's the best use of this land? Because one way to get rid of it would be to, you know, turn it into a highly fungal dominant place, which means putting in trees. Trees are going to thrive in a highly, you know, fungal dominant area. You know, in a food forest, it could be, you know, 10 to 100 to 1. In the old growth forest, it could be 1,000 to 1. Your bacteria to fungi is what I mean. So, you know, I want it to be pasture. I want it to be that very thing. So that means you need to get fungus in the soil. That's what you need to do. And then when it comes up, you need to chop its head off immediately. So you over its life cycle. This is why goats are so effective for briars and brambles and such, because grass can be grazed over and over and over in the season within reason. Okay. We've talked about that before, but your thorns and thistles and stuff like that, well, they don't deal well with a whole lot of impact, especially hoof impact. When you get out there and you knock them out, they need time to recover. And then once they get going again, bam, your goats are back on it. That's why they're so effective at first. Now, if you want it to be pasture, well, your goats sooner or later are not going to do well on a rich pasture. But that's exactly what you do with the silvergrass. Everybody up in these mountains says, oh, there's nothing you can do with it, man. We tried burning it. They did all the wrong things. So that's exactly why I'm taking soil saviors. And my strategy is every week, I did 1, 2, 3 applications of soil saviors a week apart. Now it's time for me to start putting down some of this highly fungal biocomplete compost that we make right here. And I also got a story on that as well. So that's exactly what we're going to do from here on out. So now it's time to lay down some serious fungus in this soil. And folks, I'm telling you, that's exactly how we're going to roll. And it will be recovered in no time at all. Look, I don't know if anybody's out there in the chat or whatever. If you are, I can't see you for some reason. I don't know. Rumble's an improvement when I want to say things I know that's going to get me shot right off of YouTube. But they also play a lot of games too. But I know by far our biggest audience is definitely the audio platform. So I'm just going to drive on as if everybody's out there hearing me, because at least it's being recorded. So let's see what else I got here. Man, you know it sucks when you can't even read your own notes. You're right. Folks, I'll tell you what, if this podcasting game didn't work out, I could write ransom notes, no doubt about that. So, oh, yeah. So I'm going to be adding a new substance to my compost, and I don't know if I'll be able to get into it with the guy, the doctor, actually, that he's a naturopath, and he's out in California, and I'm going to have him on Wednesday. Okay, good evening, pimps. Okay, I guess Andy's in the house. Yeah, he's out in California, and I've been test driving his EMP device. I don't even know if you can call it a device, but anyway, his methodology on dealing with EMP, and I've been trying it out for a while, and I am very pleased with it, to be honest with you. Been using it in the bedroom, you know, making sure I sleep well, and he's got stuff you can wear on your body as well, and also in your vehicle, things like that. I'm going to be talking to him on Wednesday, but I spoke to him last week, and I told him about what I was doing with this compost. In fact, I spoke to him at the Healing for the Ages conference, and he says, hey, I got this stuff I think you ought to try in your compost. And of course, I wanted to know just how, I wanted to know exactly what it was, and we'll get into that. Hopefully he's okay. Right now, he's not really willing to tell the whole world about it, but anyway, it's a rock. They mine it by hand, and it's plentiful, and it seems to be quite good. And what the quality about it that I really want is it's paramagnetic, okay? A lot of people don't talk about this sort of thing, but it is of tremendous value for the microbes down in your soil. So I'm about to take that stuff for a serious try. So I'm going to be adding that to the compost tomorrow when I take all the guts from the other birds that I have out there, because part of the experiment, I guess I didn't finish talking about the birds. Part of the experiment is if I go down there tomorrow and that lang flock and that rooster's acting up or showing any kind of aggression, he's going in the pot. And so that's exactly why I waited to process the other ones that are left out there. Because if he doesn't work out If he shows any aggression whatsoever, y'all, he's going in the pot. In fact, I talked about it in my little Sunday morning sermon, I guess, on YouTube. You know, that one that they're heavily suppressing like they do all the other stuff. So, yeah, if he's going to show any signs of aggression, I'm not going to breed him. I don't want him breeding anything. He is going to be a good candidate to go in the pot. So that's why I'm leaving the other ones back until I'm 100% sure he's going to work out. And then the other ones will graduate as well. So back to the compost. So here's what else I did. Because I am going to need a crap load of compost over this winter, I did something. I talked about this experiment before on YouTube, but I never did go into a whole lot of detail as to what happened as a result of it. I did the beginning parts of it and then just got busy and didn't even tell everybody about the results. So I bought this so-called mushroom compost from this place. Folks, it's garbage. Absolute 100% garbage. No life in it. Completely denuded of anything, but they're selling this stuff for, I don't know, probably getting $90 a yard for it, and it's complete crap. In fact, they ought to pay you to take it away. That's how bad it is. And I bought it last time, and I used my compost, I used soil saviors, and I used some volcanic rock dust, and I'll come to that in a minute. And a number of other things, whether it was biochar, a number of other things, used that out there and basically turned this stuff around in a month, in about a month. So, and when I say turn it around, y'all, all it had in it the first time we looked at it was bacteria. Now, proper compost should have bacteria, fungi, nematodes, protozoa, arthropods, and if you're lucky, even earthworms. None of the above, just bacteria. That tells you that most of this, and we've tested it all, folks, everything we got within reach of this place, it's all complete garbage. No two ways about it. And there's not a one of them around here that I would want to put in my garden, at least not without treating it first. Anyway, turn that stuff around to where it was absolutely biocomplete within a month. So I'm going to repeat the process. This time I'm going to do it all over again. And I'm going to do it again and again and again because I'm going to need to fill up a number of boxes with some really, really good stuff. Because I'm going to tear down what I have and start putting in those Vigo boxes. I've kind of become a really big fan of those guys, or the Vigo metal boxes, for a whole variety of reasons. Yeah, it's not necessarily the permaculture way of doing things, but you know, I got to economize my time with a lot of things as well. So it just makes sense for me right now. And then, of course, we're all in those places where you have more time than money, or sometimes more money than time. I mean, not many of us have that these days. But that's exactly where I'm going to need this compost, and I want this stuff swinging when I get it in there. So when you start doing it through the colder months, that's where it becomes something more of a challenge, especially when you get into the dead of winter, because you really want, when you apply a lot of this stuff, you want your ambient temperature to be somewhere about 60 degrees or above. Now, the cool thing about where we live in the mountains is we're south facing, and we get that fairly common through the winter unless they're spraying garbage from the sky. Now, this is exactly our number one issue, folks. And today was absolutely clear. No chemtrails in sight. Of course, they're spraying at night, but they do that every night. And you think you're looking at a blue sky, but it isn't. So I need stuff that is so punchy to where I'm able to mitigate, which we've shown we can do with soil savers and also with our compost, that we are able to mitigate all this aluminum and all the other crap they're dropping from the sky. And folks, it is in numbers. It is in levels that defy imagination, because aluminum doesn't exist in the air, okay, despite what they want to tell you. If you're finding it on the surface of your soil, it's because somebody dumped it there. And they're dumping all kinds of potash and everything else out there. So I need soil that is able, just like I've talked about before with the Lubka farm, it was constantly being irradiated by Chernobyl, which was upstream. And to this day, nobody can get a Geiger counter to go off at the Lubka farm. Well, why? Because they pioneered windrow composting. We know that we can tie up a lot of this stuff in medium and long chain carbonic acids, but the trick is making sure you have good compost. So that's exactly why I'm going through so much right now and how I'm having to spray way more because everything is, that's really what this pod, what the main part of this podcast is going to be about, is with all the stuff they're trying to do to kill us, folks, I'm not even going to mince my words. I can say whatever I want when I'm right here on Rumble. So I'm not even going to mince my words, and I'm not going to ask you to read between the lines as we often do. Does anybody else find it curious that on YouTube, I can talk about anything? I can get away with pretty much everything, except every single time we talk about how to cure and how to chelate this stuff from your body or how to do any kind of natural cures, all of a sudden, they give us a strike. That's why we're here exclusively right now on Rumble, because we're on our second strike on the Pimpcast channel. And of course, I could get on here and sing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and they'd probably give me a strike on the Permapastures Farm channel. But anyway, what we've come down to is we got busted the last time because we talked about Richardson Nutrition Center. And I was talking about the benefits of apricot seeds and other seeds out there like apple seeds and a number of others that have amygdala in them. Folks, you should be eating these seeds, but mainstream science is not going to tell you that. They're going to say, oh, if you look it up, they're going to tell you, oh, it's cyanide. Nobody's ever died of no cyanide poisoning from eating these apricot seeds, okay? I mean, you can eat them. Oh, now, I wouldn't go stupid with them, but it is recommended that you don't eat more than three at a time. Well, you can eat them throughout the day. And there's a book called A World Without Cancer, written by G. Edward Griffin. Some of you might recognize that name. Yeah, the guy that wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island. Well, I think he's 93 now or 92. I don't remember which. And everybody he knows that is eating these seeds, which contain vitamin B17, amygdalin, there's not one of them that has cancer. I can't tell you guys about that on YouTube. How about that? I can't tell you about that. Or Barbara O'Neill getting on here talking about, somebody asked, look, I can't smell. What do I do about it? She said, yeah, zinc is a really good place to start. Got kicked off for that. Talked about chlorine dioxide and how we use it, folks. I mean, if you only knew, we use it every single day, especially in our animals. It's in their water every single day. Okay, you can use it on yourself. I mean, I would seriously go check out Dr. Lee Merritt. She's going to be at the Sovereign Health Summit, by the way. And if anybody wants tickets for that, you can find the link down below. Perma will get you 5% off. I know everybody's saying, hey, is there going to be like a Christmas discount or Black Friday? Look, folks, it's as low as we can make it already. The margins ain't exactly in the stratosphere for a lot of people to put on these types of things. I want to get people the help they need, and I want to make it as affordable as I can and not lose our butts in the process. So that's precisely the kind of information and the people you're going to hear from at the Sovereign Health Summit. That's why I brought up this whole thing about health, folks. They are literally trying to kill us every single day. And then I get these people on here, oh, I don't want to hear about bad things. Folks, if you only knew, there's a buddy of mine. He's getting with me about how to properly look after a sheep. He wants chlorine dioxide to look after a sheep. But meanwhile, couldn't care less about his own health. I'm like, I don't know what gives here. I mean, this is a person that's dealt with some pretty dreadful health issues in the past, and you can't get them to care about it. I don't know. Well, the Sovereign Health Summit is not for those people. I'll be honest with you. It's for the people out there that want to hear all of the stuff that's being suppressed from you. Things I can't even talk about in the regular podcast, which has given me thought to maybe just broadcast, start on YouTube, and then tell everybody, hey, we're kicking on over to Rumble. Check it out here, because that's the only place you're going to be able to get it. But yeah, that's exactly what's going on out here. And I just feel, I'll be honest with y'all, man, it's like a breath of fresh air to be able to get on a platform and say whatever I feel like saying. Because honestly, I guarantee when I say what I'm going to say in this one, this is one they would definitely shut down and give me my third strike. And then, you know, we're scrubbed right off the internet or at least off YouTube anyway. So, yeah, It's a crazy world, and I'm focusing so much. That's one of my biggest things about this fall and winter is I want to focus so much on fermentation. That was, I don't know about everybody else in the crowd when I go to these things, but folks, I'm taking notes. I am paying attention. And unlike, I would say, 90% of the people that I teach to process animals or any class I teach, 90% never do anything with it. In fact, I'd probably go as far as to say 95% ever do anything with a processing class or a compost class or any of the other classes I've ever taught. I'm not that guy. If I go to this conference, you better not be some chatty Cathy sitting next to me wanting to talk to me, because I am paying attention. I am listening to the lesson. I'm paying attention, and I'm going to take it home, try it out, see if it works. And then I'm going full steam ahead once I learn it. And one of the big things I took away from this last one is the benefits. And actually, I took it away before then, but it put the exclamation point on it. Logan from Sowing Prosperity spent a really good amount of time talking to me privately about this as far as diet and fermentation and the benefit to you. And that's what the main part of this program, I'm not going to jump the gun right now, but that's the main part of what I want to talk about today, how the soil and your gut are symbiotic. They go together. It's like the good Lord knew exactly what he was doing. But anyway, Michelle and I are cutting up cabbages. I'm putting in anything that's in season right now that can go in a jar and ferment. That's exactly what I'm putting in there. Okay. I think I did one yesterday and this is another skill I'm learning, because I never fermented anything in my life. So I have Michelle teaching me, because she's made, you know, pickles, sauerkraut, and the whole nine yards, kimchi, you name it. And I've never been a big fan, because I'm just not a big fan of the flavor. But I can eat for function. If I know that this is really, really awesome for me, folks, I can eat anything. I will do anything if I know it's really, really good for me. So that's exactly why I'm born again hard when it comes to fermentation, because I've learned so much and what it's doing and how it ties in exactly with the composting we do in our soil. See, folks, I tied it all together. Don't worry, I'll tie it in a little bit tighter here before too long. But yeah, I'm doing a whole lot of fermentation. So what's going in there? What can you get this time? Or what can you grow in your garden? What can you get from the farmer's market? Local and fresh, that's exactly what I want. Because what's happening, according to Dr. Jack Cruz, is that you're capturing sunlight when you ferment, okay? You're taking something and you're keeping it, to a certain extent, in stasis. At least the microbes, you're keeping them in stasis. 70 or 80% of your gut, y'all, is not even you. It belongs to something else, these other microorganisms. So that's exactly why when I listen to Dr. Sabine Hazen, I'm like, oh my goodness, man, it all just clicked. It all made sense. And so that's why I'm making sure we got more than enough fermented stuff to get me through this winter, because I am going to be eating primarily, when the time is right, through the winter, I'll be eating primarily meat and fermented vegetables. Or I guess you could eat fermented, sourdough. I mean, that's fermented, so why not that? I got to find out about that. I don't know, but it's just my guess. So anyway, that's exactly where I'm at right now. And all of it, just like I mentioned a moment ago, fighting back all this junk. They're poisoning us from the sky, the air, the water. And if I can find ways to mitigate that and even reverse it and send it backwards or tie it up, that's exactly what I'm going to do until we get to a point where this country's so broke they can't. You know what? I think we could be in absolute dire straits and they would still find the money to drop this garbage from the sky. Anyway, I'm not going to go dark right now, but I will tell you that Richardson Nutrition Center, yeah, I can't even believe I can actually tell you. Yeah, the apricot seeds is what I use. I put them in everything I eat, and I eat them three times a day, four seeds per meal. I put them in my salad in the morning, and you know, I don't really eat lunch. So I eat things midday. And then at night, of course, I'll just eat it while I'm eating whatever I'm eating, which reminds me, I still need to eat those four, but this day isn't done for me because I need to go down there and go lasso up these chickens while they're sleeping. By the way, let me give you one more hack before I go on about Richardson. Look, I've never understood this. Everybody goes and snatches up their chickens they're going to process, you know, during the day while the sun's shining. Man, I don't know anybody in the sound of my voice that likes to chase around chickens. I ain't Rocky. So I always, whatever chickens I'm going to process, I will go out there at night. I will snatch them up while they're sleeping, while they're roosting, and then put them in the cage. Isn't that so much easier? Why sit there and fight with these guys or chase them around and sit here and get beat up or crawl on your hands and knees when I can just go out there and get them when they're sleeping? I never understood why anybody did it any other way. So anyway, that's what I'm going to do when I'm done with this podcast. Anyway, back to Richardson Nutrition Center. Richardson Nutrition, we got a link for them down below. 10% off with promo code PERMA. But yeah, those seeds over there, look, y'all, you can do what you want. I'm only putting things on this program that I know that work for me and work very, very well and have a long track record. This is exactly why they canceled his dad, John Richardson Sr., because he told the world that, hey, we don't have to have cancer. And the amount and the cancers he cured with these were just absolutely stunning. So look, there's some simple, like I said before, you know, the problems of this world, quoting Bill Mollison, become more and more complex, but the solutions are embarrassingly simple. So maybe this is one of them out there. Anyway, go get yourself some savings over there with 10% off with promo code PERMA. And then Wave Watch. Right now, I think they're running Black Friday 15% off with Billy 100. That'll get you squared away over there with that Wave Watch, and I love that thing. And I'm about to kick off another experiment with it tomorrow. I'll let you know. And yeah, we'll just drive on. So, going to the good news section. Some of this, okay, it's not going to appear like good news, but you'll see how I twist it. This ain't one of them. Omega-3 fatty acids, a solid natural shield against high blood pressure and heart disease. Yeah. Maybe that's why they want everybody to be vegans out there, okay? Because you're not going to get a sufficient amount of that if you are. So fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, sardines. And the cool thing about eating mackerel and sardines, or I wonder if herring is a good source of that, because I don't mind. I love herring. The good thing about it is I don't know that these guys are necessarily bioaccumulating the amount of lead and mercury because they're not at the top of the food chain. Now, when you eat tuna all the time, yeah, you're going to have some problems because it's a top predator and that stuff bioaccumulates in all these guys. I need to look into that, but yeah, you know, getting some of that Norwegian fish oil, that's what I use. So anyway, you can avoid some of that, the heart disease and the high blood pressure, but I'll tell you what works better than all of that, getting sunlight, getting midday sun, morning sun, afternoon sun, evening sun, you name it. I mean, you can get it all. That's one of the biggest ways to move the needle. All right, second one here. Israel's systemic use of Palestinian human shields exposed. I'm calling that good news because what's happening over there, and I'm far beyond caring what anybody thinks about it because I got the news on my side. I got the evidence on my side. What they are doing over there, folks, and Pastor Chuck Baldwin talked about it last week in one of his sermon, is so barbaric. Like, I mean, folks, forgive me for saying it, and I'm sorry. I mean, if you got little ones around, maybe you don't want them to hear this, but raping prisoners, male prisoners, over and over to the point that they die. I mean, I ain't ever even heard of anything this grotesque. But anyway, it's being exposed, and I'm hoping the world keeps exposing what's going on here because their minions, if you go to Twitter, their minions are out in full force right now. Of course, they got all these influencers that are being paid $7,000 per tweet to go out here and say these guys are the best thing since sliced bread. Look, the Lord does not endorse such barbaric behavior, even in the Old Testament. I mean, there were rules for warfare even there, okay? And this wasn't one of them. These are, I mean, I'm not saying it's all these folks over there. I'm saying the ones doing this. Think about this, folks. The general that blew the whistle on that, she's in prison. And the guys who did it are free. What does that tell you? Yeah, the female general who blew the whistle on this is rotting in prison. I can't, her prison sentence is like unbelievable. Unbelievable. And they might just murder her in there. So what a brave soul. Anyway. New study finds that eating fruits fortifies the lungs against dirty air. Now, this was a new one on me. Now, the fiber in there, and of course, it doesn't necessarily have to be fruits per se. And you also got to wonder, are you destroying your folks? If you go back and listen to what I learned, and you can still get the replay right now on the Healing for the Ages. They were talking about that appeal, APEEL, that Bill Gates wanted to put over all the fruits and vegetables in the store to keep it fresher longer. When you find out what that stuff does to your gut, you better be making sure that that garbage is not on there. So the new study finds, that's why I'm saying, yeah, this new study finds that eating fruits fortifies the lungs against dirty air, but are you destroying your microbiome by eating a peel? So you got to be sure. So you want to look at these labels, folks. You have got to look at labels, and you got to do it in a big way. All right, with that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, mindset matters. Bill Mollison said way back in the 1980s that there is no need to continue gathering more evidence of the need to act. We had enough to keep us going for a lifetime, because he knew that surrounding ourselves in negativity inhibits our action. Why do you think all news is negative news? It's designed to keep you afraid. And now with AI, they have added confusion and mistrust to the mix. It's basically impossible to know what is real anymore. And the more you go down the rabbit hole, the more negativity you unearth. I was listening to a podcast with Dr. Jack Cruz discussing the harmful effects of blue light. And I imagined all the people that would hear that information and feel like they were just being bombarded with negativity 24 hours a day. If light exposure is more important than food, then I would say mindset is the most important. If you follow Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know that two people can be exposed to the same toxins, but will have different reactions based on a positive or negative mindset. And as Bill Mollison also said, though the problems of the world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple. Create good soil, maintain good gut health, get good light exposure, minimize toxins coming in, and have a positive mindset. We truly do reap what we sow, mentally, physically, and spiritually. It's really that simple. I think it's important to keep updated on world events only so much as they influence your action. If following the news, going on social media, or consuming content leaves you paralyzed with fear, then it's time to cut that all out of your life. Even when you know all this, you can still get sucked into the negative downward spiral. That's why I put my faith in permaculture. It's the mainframe foundation I rely on to keep a positive mindset when faced with so much despair and negativity. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, the official pimp gear of the PimpCast, or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for more information on my permaculture community group, head over to permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog, y'all. And I kid you not, I don't even listen to what Eric's, I don't listen to his segment. Michelle does, because she kind of loads it into the to the Roadcaster. Folks, I can't even believe how much overlap, how connected Eric and I are at a level that I just can't. Honestly, I could walk away from the mic right now, because he just kind of basically said everything I'm about to say. Now, I'm going to go into greater detail, but I am floored, because he had no idea. He had no idea what I was going to talk about today. Wow. Absolutely wow. And I don't even know where to start. It's funny he brings up Jack Cruz, because yeah, the light environment that we're in makes all the difference in the world, which is probably why I'm going to start moving the podcast back to 5:30 Eastern next week. That might be an inconvenience for some folks, but I got to do it for my own health, because I can't be under these studio lights, which are primarily blue light, bombarding my body at a time where there is no blue light in the environment. So I got to practice what I preach, y'all. And it means everything in the world to me to be able to do this stuff and to bring you great information. But at the same time, I can't do it. I can't do it at my own detriment. And yeah, Andy's right. He's we are all nitrogen fixers now. So yeah, with that said, wow. I'm just kind of dumbstruck, y'all, because I had no idea Eric was even going to talk about that. So, yeah, before I get into it, Sovereign Health Summit, 5% off with promo code PERMA. Yeah, folks, you're going to want to go to this thing. I don't know that anybody's ever put. It's funny he mentioned Jack Cruise because I can't afford to get Jack Cruise there right now, maybe next year or the year following. But we got the guy closest to him that we can get, and that's Logan over at Sewing Prosperity. If you don't listen to his podcast, I mean, Logan, in so many ways, Michelle actually likes him even better than Dr. Cruise because he can break it down in a way. I mean, he speaks country boy, y'all. He can break it down in a way that makes sense. He does all the hard, heavy lifting as far as a study, and he breaks it down in a way that where you and I can understand it. Logan's going to be there. And we got Barbara O'Neill. We got, you know, a number of others out here. We got Henry Ely. But to my knowledge, I don't know if anybody's ever put together a conference where we're covering exactly what Eric talked about. We're going to talk about circadian health with Logan and several others. And then Barbara O'Neill is going to be covering her thing. And then we got everybody in between. I don't know. Usually it's just one type of genre that these conferences have. Not all the time, but mostly. I don't know that anybody's ever tried to get all these different disciplines all under one roof where you can cut and paste like I do here. Hey, let me try this out for a while. Let me see if it works. Okay, cold thermogenesis doesn't work for me. It's probably because of the haplotype of my mom, but it almost certainly works for a lot of other people. And maybe I might be doing a few things wrong. I don't know, but I definitely don't get this euphoric feeling the way other people do doing it. So there's probably a reason for that. But anyway, I'll come to that at a later time. Remember, Sovereign Health Summit, 5% off with promo code PERMA. Get those tickets, y'all. We can do it virtually. So we got virtual tickets as well. So if you don't want to be there in person, you can watch it online. All right. I'm going to talk about the homesteader's gut. Soil and stomach are both the same system, y'all. This is why I'm blown away by what Eric said. It's like he knew exactly what I wanted to talk about. Think about this, folks. I'm going to break this down in a way I hope makes sense. You know, the most important ecosystem you manage isn't your pastures. It's your gut. But there should be a symbiosis here. Soil health and gut health operate on exact identical biological laws. I mean, if you wouldn't dump it on your soil, why would you dump it into your stomach? Okay, take glyphosate, for example. I was listening to an interview from, it was Zen Honeycutt, and she was on, doggone it, she's with Moms Across America, okay? She was on this program Michelle sent to me, and they were talking about this very thing. And I'm sorry, I can't give attribution to the podcast she was on because I listened to so many, and like Eric says, I pulled myself away. I will listen to a very narrow band of what's going on, and then I'm done. That's exactly, but like he said, you find yourself getting looped back in to something you didn't expect. And then before you know it, you know, it's running away with you. So anyway, I pulled the reins back, listening to very little about what's going on in the world. I find out what's going on, then I walk away and I listen to beneficial things. But they were talking about that very thing. I mean, you think about this, folks, microbes are really the real bosses here. Soil thrives, and you've heard me talk about it ad nauseum, bacteria, fungi, nematodes, protozoa, arthropods, and of course, earthworms are your lions in the soil. But your gut also thrives on bacteria, yeast, enzymes, and a high degree of microbial diversity. Remember, I said before that DEI only works in the compost pile, but it's kind of that same way in your gut too. So in both systems, diversity equals resilience. Now, I will say diversity at first. And I say that for a reason, especially in your compost pile. You hit it with everything in the kitchen sink. Oh, you see this weed over here, what people think is a weed, put it in your pile. And obviously not one, but you want to get a gang of them. See this grass over here? You want to put as many different things in there because of the microbes that are on the outside of those things that you grab. You want multiple carbon sources. This is why I use leaves, and I'm going to get a crap load of them tomorrow, as a matter of fact. This is why I use wood chips. This is why I use some of these aged wood chips especially. And this is why I use a diversity, making sure that, of course, they're not sprayed with any garbage. This is exactly why dirt isn't dirty. It's alive, just like you. And so you want that diversity out there, and you find out what works after a while. That's why I was saying, when I'm making a sauerkraut, I'm sticking, yeah, the cabbage is basically the lead singer, but there's carrots in there. Why can't I, you know, grow carrots this year, this time of year? Why not? Carrots go in there. Radishes, multiple types of radishes. Michelle pulled all of the peppers out of the tunnel. Okay, you got some of them in there. Cayenne is good for so many things, and they're local. So not only am I getting the benefit of them being, I mean, everything I'm putting in there is as local as you can possibly get. So what kills soil also kills the gut. So in the case of antibiotics, yeah, I'm not an absolutist on these things, but I'm saying just generally, there may be some cases where you need an antibiotic. Well, that's basically glyphosate for the human body. You know, that glyphosate they spray on the fields or spray on your Roundup Ready crap that's coming out of those fields. Ultra processed food equals the equivalent of a chemical fertilizer. Short-term boost, long-term destruction. That's exactly what's happening. And then think about it with the water. Chloridated and fluoridated water. Now, I really need to take just a little bit of time on that. It equals basically killing the good guys in both systems. Yeah, I said that. I'm going to say it one more time. Chloridated and fluoridated water, you're killing both guys. Folks, that statement alone would get me kicked right off of YouTube. I kid you not. Chloridated, fluoridated water is killing the good guys in both systems. I am deadly, deadly serious. So if it's killing all of the microbes, whether good or bad, that's coming through your water lines, what do you think it's doing out there in your fields? This is exactly why when I go out here and I treated that one area that we were doing through our foundation, that's precisely why I would capture 275 gallons of water in one of those totes. I'd let it off gas for a couple of days before I ever thought about using it. And then what did I do? I'd go ahead and hit it with fulvic and humic acids to eat up what was left before I ever put my stuff in there. Because if you go ahead and stick your compost extract in the chloridated and fluoridated water, you just did it for nothing. You just killed everything. So if it's killing the stuff in my compost, and it is, what do you think it's doing in your gut? And we got kids drinking this crap in schools. And I mean, folks, this is exactly why I've made the big time shift into talking about health. For the longest time, I was doing so many of these things, but I never talked about it because we were all about farming. Well, how are you going to get out there and farm if your body's falling apart? Pesticides and herbicides, they wipe out the microbes the same way they wipe out the soil biology. I'm dead serious. This is why I don't do consultations for the most part. Because, folks, I can't even begin to tell you how many times this sort of thing has happened. Is that you go out there, tell them how to make compost and everything, and then they turn back around and they'll use some store-bought fertilizer, which is nothing. It metabolizes in the salts. Plants almost take up none of it. You're staying on that hamster wheel as long as you keep using that stuff. Or, you know, I have a brother, my oldest brother, as a matter of fact, just couldn't bear the fact that his garden wasn't going to work out. And so to get rid of the pests, he's out there putting seven dust on it. I'm like, this was just absolutely stupid. Why would you do something like that? And they were trying to be sneaky about it. Like, I can't see it out here. Anyway, that relationship fell apart just for that simple reason alone. Couldn't get them to stay off the chemicals. Anyway, monoculture versus real food. Monocrop farms collapse because they lack diversity. And that's why they need tons and tons and tons and increasingly of outside inputs. It's the same way in the human diet. A gut fed the same five foods is basically a monoculture. Just like it is out there in your orchard, your garden, whatever the case may be. So you don't eat the same five foods every day. Otherwise, you're probably going to have problems. Real whole living foods, polyculture in your stomach is, I guess, another way of saying it. That's exactly what we want to try to do. And that's where, once again, the fermented food, like right before I came in here to do this podcast, I mean, I ate dinner And it just consisted of, you know, a couple of, and you don't really need that much. Just a couple of forkfuls is enough. I just put that on there, made sure I had plenty of salt, that and some ground beef. That's all I ate. And that's exactly how I'm, well, no, I take that back. I ate also some chips from Siete that, you know, are, don't have any junk in them, or at least I hope they don't. So healthy soil fights pests naturally, okay? A balanced gut also fights, this is what I've learned from that conference, a balanced gut is also going to fight illness naturally and internally. When you, like I said before, 70 to 80% of the human immune system lives in the gut. That's why if you're having anxiety issues, depending on the kind of doctor or dog you take to the hunt here, the first thing they're going to address, just like with Dr. Group, is hold on, let's talk about what you're eating and what you got going in you. Let's address that first. Once we get that worked out, then we can kind of stretch out from there. That's where a lot of them go. Because when the gut's inflamed, the mind is anxious, the body's weak, and honestly, your spirit, everything about you is dull. And what, can you blame it for being any other kind of way? So compost, when you get down to brass tacks in the soil, is just beneficial decomposition. You know, fermented foods do the same thing in your stomach. Like I said, sauerkraut, kimchi, kefir, kombucha, sourdough. And I would be careful about some of that sourdough because there's a whole lot of them. In fact, just a little personal note, nearly every single person in Asheville, now this is a food town, nearly all of them claiming they have sourdough, it ain't sourdough. You know how I know? Because when I eat it, if I have to run to the bathroom immediately, 100% guaranteed it ain't sourdough. Guaranteed. There's only one place, and I just happen to live in the town in Mars Hill. I don't live in town, but I can go there, and I know for sure the people that run that place are making legit sourdough because when I eat it, perfectly fine. If you eat something and then your gut starts turning, it tells you that you probably made a mistake. So anyway, be really, really careful about some of that sourdough out there. I know it, over COVID, it became popular. Michelle had been making it for years and years and years, you know, and you know, I've never had a problem with sourdough. And now she's going to start experiment with some of these ancient grains and doing some, I think she's going to do a sourdough out of some einkorn. So we'll have to let you know how that pans out. So you're either decompositioning or regenerating. So you better choose your microbes wisely, folks. So soil needs carbon, minerals, and nitrogen and moisture. Your gut needs fiber, minerals, enzymes, and probiotics. And a lot of that is broken down. A lot of those minerals and the other things that you get in your gut is because you have a good gut microbiome. There was Dr. Hazen also talking about the fact that these very long-lived people have extraordinary, what they all have in common. Whether, you know, everybody's heard about those anomalies where, hey, they smoked every day or they did this, they did that. Their gut microbiome was off the charts fantastic. That's what the long-lived people all have in common, okay? These people live to 100 or more. So highly processed foods are the equivalent of feeding like your soil topsoil. I mean, it's like feeding your topsoil candy bars. Nobody with any sense at all would ever do such a thing. So antibiotics scorch earth the gut like tilling does the same thing to the soil. So when you're constantly, like I got another brother who every single sniffle, he wants an antibiotic. And he does not think clearly. He does not think soundly. In fact, you might even argue, I think somebody could, that there's probably some mental illness going on there. Because every time you turn around, he's wanting to take an antibiotic or give one to his kid. So chronic stress also is like compaction to your soil. Squeezes out the oxygen and suffocates everything in the system. I mean, it kills the biology. Like Eric was talking about with Dr. Dispenza. I'm glad he brought that up because that's exactly what he's saying there, is that when you're constantly, you give two people the same illness or exposed to the same toxic, that person who's chronically stressed is definitely going to not act as well as the person who's learned how to be chill. I mean, just like I've talked about before, you could take an animal out there that, I don't know, let's say a lion gets after it. As soon as he gets away from the lion, the stress goes away immediately. Because of our prefrontal cortex, we're able to manufacture lions in our lives that don't exist. Or we just think this is the way we have to think. No, there's a way to train. And Eric talked about it just a moment ago. And it comes through meditation. It comes through realizing that you don't have to think the thoughts you had the day before. So stay away from that chronic stress. And the way to get around a lot of that, and some of these things are tied together, is going to be good sleep, prayer, definitely time outside, and the no-till method for your nervous system, I guess is what you can call it. So you want to make sure you apply all these things because they work synergistically and symbiotically in so many different ways. If you got good microbiome, if you got a good gut microbiome, maybe your sleep's going to be a little bit better. If your sleep's better, maybe you're going to think better. You know, they all go together. I got a few more notes I'd like to go into here. And yeah, I think I got time. So ruminants build soil with manure, just like fermented foods build the gut. And this is exactly what I've learned and what I'm learning. And now I'm thinking, oh man, how many different fermented things can I get? And the things I can't produce here, can I go to the farmer's market and get it from somebody local? And we went this last weekend, and yes, I can. I can absolutely positively, from what we have here and what I'm able to source locally at people that I know are doing legit stuff, because folks, you got to watch out at your farmer's market. You see them out there pulling out a bunch of stuff from boxes. You better go up there and do some questioning. You better be looking at their account. You might even want to visit the farm if they'll allow you, because there are so many of these people out there that are buying crap off the shelf just to fill the demand at the farmer's market. So you got to be really, really careful about that. In fact, there was this girl running one of the stands, and I started giving her the what for about, you know, how she's doing things and, you know, do you use any pesticides? What are you using? And the cool thing about where I live around here, this is one of the cool things, is that these people, yeah, they'll be the first ones to line up for a jab, but they are absolutely fastidious in terms of their compliance to following whatever whole food diet that they're into. So I'm pretty lucky in that way. So feeding animals on your pasture equals people eating real homegrown food in living soil. That's why I say every single day of the year, I eat something from my garden, whether it's in that high tunnel or I don't care if it's in your windowsill. I mean, there's kale and chard and things like that I know that I can grow all year long and shouldn't have a problem with it. In fact, Michelle found some perennial kale a while back, and I think she's been picking some every single day to put in the salad. So feed your animals well, and you feed your gut well. They all go hand in hand. So here's a couple of practical tips that I want to leave you with. Like I said, it only takes about a forkful in terms of fermentation of a lot of this stuff, although you can eat more. A forkful of sauerkraut ain't going to do it for me, but it's sufficient. I'm just telling you. And then also the order in which you eat. You want to check out the glucose goddess, man. She was on there with a diary of a CEO. Eric sent me that guy's podcast a while back, and he had the glucose goddess on there. And I started doing what she said in terms of how we eat. So she explained in this thing, and I'm just going to hurry up and try to get this one out. She explained that when you go into most restaurants, there's a reason why they give you bread up front. They actually studied this. They give you bread up front because they know the glucose response you're about to have to it. So by the time you eat that bread and then you order your meal, and by the time you're all done with your meal, that bread should have kicked in by that time in your system and told you, hey, I kind of want dessert if you didn't overeat too much during dinner. That's 100% of the reason why they give you bread at the beginning of a meal. When in a lot of European restaurants, they will give you an antipasto of some sort of fermented vegetable before you even start the meal. Yeah, it blew my mind. And so I started doing that very thing. So the way she suggests you eat and the way I eat ever since listening to her is, number one, before you even start the meal, and she suggests you only do it one time a day, is that you take a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, okay? Start there. And if you really want to put it up on steroids, take some digestive enzymes along with it. That wasn't her suggestion. I got that one from pharmacist Ben Fuchs. So anyway, you start that off. Now, the way I do it every day, folks, I'm just going to tell you what I do. When I eat my first meal, which is maybe sometimes around noon, and there may be sometimes I don't eat anything at all, just giving the gut a chance to chill. So for me, what it's going to look like, all the lettuce and stuff like that that Michelle picked that morning, I will make a salad out of it, and I'm going to add fermented stuff into the salad. I'm going to put those seeds in there, those apricot seeds that I talked about earlier, put them in that salad, and then some local nuts that I can get around here. That all goes in my salad. At the same time, I'm also doing bone broth. Now, I'm making these at the same time. Now, bone broth is something I have every single day, although some would say you only really need it once a week. Well, anyway, I eat, first of all, the broth, because if I'm breaking a fast, I want to try to do it with fat a lot of times. And I got that from Dr. Mindy Peltz. So it doesn't matter which one you really have first, although the glucose goddess would tell you to start with the salad. So yeah, you can start right there. I usually start with the broth because I know it's low impact. And then I start with the salad. And then if I eat something after that salad, which is almost certainly going to have some eggs or in it, some kind of meat, that, and then if you eat anything after that that's even sweet, glucose goddess suggests you put your fats after your meal. And yeah, I've tried it that way and it works out well. You'll find out that you have an easier, steady supply of energy just by starting with your salad. Eat that by itself. You can wait a little bit. Do your bone broth if you prefer to do that first. And then eat anything else you have after that. And then whatever carbs you have, you eat them last. You will find out that you don't have this slump. Just try it, folks. Next time you go to work tomorrow, just give it a shot and tell me if it doesn't work. It absolutely does work. So, yeah, eat something raw every single day. I try to. Great fiber anyway. Eliminate definitely the seed oils from out of there. I mean, it's causing inflammation and, you know, accelerates all the bad things. Bone broth weekly for gut lining for a lot of people. For me, I'm having it every single day because I can. And this is why those chickens are going in the freezer right now. Because, yeah, I will eat the meat, but the broth is way more valuable to me, especially in chickens that I raised. Why? Because that they have that electromagnetic barcode of where I live. So those chickens accumulated the sunlight, everything in this area from my zip code. And so it's going to benefit me better than if I bought chickens from an hour away, you dig? Or I bought one out of Whole Foods, even though it says organic, who knows where it was raised. You want to try to get it as local as possible. Another thing, touch the soil every single day. I don't care if you've got a regular 9-to-5 job, get out there, just put your bare feet on the ground if you can, or put your hands out there. Communicate. You are made mostly of microbes, and they communicate through your skin biome. And obviously drink clean water, not this municipal garbage out there that they have. I mean, you know what? Getting down to brass tacks, you came from the dust isn't a metaphor. It's microbiology. I mean, it isn't necessarily, it came from the Bible, obviously, but it's also a metaphor. It's also microbiology. It's used as a metaphor, I guess is what I should say. But it really comes down to microbiology. So you are part of that environment. That's why Dr. Cruz's message resonates so much to me because, like Eric said, I mean, it's all permaculture. This is why decentralized, you can have the most decentralized farm in the world, but I find out that most so-called decentralized farmers are absolutely centralized when it comes to their own personal health. Folks, I was one of those people. I was missing the boat too. And when you know better, you do better. All right. I want to thank everybody that was in here with me live today. Remember, check us out there at the Sovereign Health Summit, y'all. That thing is going to be the cat's meow. We're putting every and anything to it. Can't even begin to tell you how much time we and T and Amber and all the rest of us putting this thing on, all the time that we're putting into this thing, because seriously, this is the most important. If you don't have your health, y'all, I really don't know what else you got. And as I said from the very beginning of this show, they are trying to murder us. I use that word on purpose. They are trying to murder us in every conceivable way. why would you put the stuff in the water they put in there? Why would you put things in the air that they drop on us? And you can't escape that. Why would they be doing what they do with all of this food in the store that ain't even food? It's garbage. You know, I'm with Michael Pollan on this. And I totally agree with him, the guy that wrote Omnivore's Dilemma. He says, I think you should eat anything you want as long as you make it. And honestly, I think if we went back to that, things would be so much better, y'all. All right, I want to thank everybody for checking me out. Well, as you can tell, this topic would never be seeing the light of day on YouTube. So until next time, stay alert, stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.